Well, let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We thank you so much for this evening. We thank you that we could be here. We ask that you would help us to learn and grow in you, that you would fill us with your spirit, Lord, and that we'd each leave here tonight with a gold nugget from you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as those of you who have been here the last couple months, we're going through Galatians chapter 2 on the fruit of the Spirit, and we're taking some of the attributes and applying them to marriages and couples. Anybody in here dating and engaged? All right, great. We're glad you're here also. Praise the Lord. So this month, we're going to be hitting on kindness and goodness, how to keep that fresh in your relationship, kindness and goodness. Some people think that, you know, they start dating, and right after they're done dating for a couple months, they're not kind and good to each other anymore. Well, that's not the way God wants us to have it. So I'm going to read Galatians 5, 16 through 26, and share a couple of points on it, and then we're going to go into the teaching on goodness and kindness. In Galatians 5, 16 through 26, it says, I say then, in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things which you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Spirit and the flesh are always conflicting, aren't they? What we want to do a lot of times is in such contrast to what our mind or our flesh is telling us to do. And we can't ever let our guard down. We always have to be ready to do what God tells us to do and beat our flesh into submission. And the more we walk in the Spirit, the easier it is to do the right things. And we'll do it out of joy versus out of, we have to do this. So we want to be able to do things and serve God out of joy of what he's doing in our lives. In verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilers, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, do you think if you're practicing these things, you're going to be doing good things and kind things? Anybody? No, of course not. Those are not the things we want to do to be good and be kind and do the things that God's told us to do. The key word in this, just so you know, is practice it. When we come to the Lord, we don't stop sinning. We're not sinless, but we sin less. Does that make sense? We're not sinless, but we sin less. And we should sin less and less and less the more we walk with God. So the more we know God's word, the more we're around other Christians, the more we're going to be walking with God and doing the right things. So we don't want to practice these things. As you come to the Lord, as you're walking with him more, you're going to abandon more and more of your old nature, and you're going to be walking more and more with the Lord. Okay, and then verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Notice it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular. And they all come and are driven off of the love. If you love, you're going to be instituting and enacting the different fruit of the Spirit. Last month, we talked about long-suffering. Do you guys remember that? And we need to do that. In the months to come, we're going to be talking about other attributes. But again, today, we're going to be talking about being kind and good. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to be dying to your flesh, and you're going to be more kind, and I won't say gooder, because it's not right. But you're going to be better in the Lord, because you're going to be doing the right thing. So we have to continually offer our bodies, as I've shared with you before, as a living sacrifice daily. And remember, the problem with that living sacrifice is we crawl off the altar. As we're on that altar and we're presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, the little saw comes down, the little knife comes down, and we go, not that area, God. And he's going, but that's the area I still want to clean up. And so we need to constantly be offering our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord so he could clean us up and he could make us more like him. Verse 25 says, If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, does anybody think you could do this stuff, the fruit of the Spirit, without walking in the Spirit of God, without being filled with His Spirit? You know, I'm going to muster up goodness. I'm going to muster up kindness. Watch me be good. What is our nature? Yeah, I was going to talk about this later, but we'll talk about it a little bit now. What is the nature of our kids when they're born? Is it good? They want to, oh, let me share my toys. No, it's mine. It's all our sin nature. We're born with that. And we have to constantly be dying to that in order to walk right with the Lord and to be kind and to be good. Now, is it any different when you get older? Now, I want you to be honest. Don't raise your hand. But how many of us sometimes, like even after this, we walk out there and we go, I hope there's chocolate cake left. Maybe I'll get in front of line. Let's go to desserts first. Because that's our nature. Our nature is I, me. And we have to die to I, me to allow other people to go first and allow God to do that. And it's worse. Well, let's say it's harder for a long time until you get into a habit of it with the one you're married to or dating. Because you're with them all the time. And I don't know about you guys, but my wife knows this, but I'm not perfect. Are you? So she's got to live with an imperfect man. And so therefore, we're living with imperfect human beings and we have to constantly die to ourselves and we have to constantly be good and kind to the other person to help them grow in Jesus also. It's just not natural, not at all. We have to fight it. Being alive, you know the problem is that. Remember the living sacrifice again, what you need to do. Again, dying to self, don't provoke one another. Now, if you've been dating longer than a month, you know this. But if you've been married more than a year, you know this. Do you know how to provoke? Yeah, you're laughing because you do. You know that little word or that little thing that they just don't want to hear. Is that goodness? Is that being kind? Let's stop that. Let's not provoke one another. I want to read out of the Easton's Bible Dictionary a little bit about what it says goodness is and kindness is. And then I'm going to read some scriptures on goodness and kindness. And then at the end, we're going to talk about how to practically apply these things in our marriages and our relationships. And even maybe, I want you guys to be thinking also something maybe that your spouse has done that's been very, not bad, that has been done that has been good and kind, that has blessed you, that you could maybe share with other people. You know what you could do to be good and to be kind and to make our relationships better? Okay? So, in goodness, it says, in man is not a mere passive quality, this is about goodness, but the deliberate preference of right to wrong, the firm and persistent resistance of all moral evil, and the choosing and following of all moral good. In other words, we're constantly battling to be good. It's not just, oh, I choose today for the rest of my life I'm going to be good, and it's done. That doesn't happen. Kindness, it says, an attribute of God, a quality desirable, but not consistently found in humans. Isn't that interesting? Kindness is not consistently found in humans. Now, my wife knows this. I could have bad days and I could have good days. And if I'm having a bad day, I may be battling inside. I don't want to do the right thing. And I have to die to my flesh in that. It's constantly battling and doing the right thing. So it goes on and says, the main problem in understanding kindness is the fact that it is one of the series of terms that are overlapping and not clearly or consistently distinguishable in meaning. This is true not only in the English, kindness, goodness, mercy, pity, love, grace, favor, compassion, gentleness, tenderness, etc., but also in the Greek and in the Hebrew. Consider, for example, the relationship of love, goodness, kindness, and mercy in Luke. Nevertheless, although distinctions are not consistent, kindness, like goodness and love, tend to cover a broad range of meaning, don't they? It covers just a broad range of meaning. We can say, let's be good, let's be kind. And what does that really mean? You need practical application. And it goes on, it says, with mercy and grace being progressively narrowed. Divine kindness, God's kindness, as presupposed or taught through the scripture. We should always be looking how we could be more kind and how we could have the right attitude in this. It is manifest in what is called common grace. God is kind to all he has made, even when his creations are ungrateful or wicked. Do you realize that? He's still kind to us. He wants to give us grace. He wants to give us mercy. He's saying, George, stop it. Come back to me. I love you. He's always kind. He's always good. God's kindness is seen in his deliverance of the believer from affliction, fear, and trouble. Thirdly, God's kindness is manifested in a full salvation that comes through Christ. Man, he went where? To the cross for us. Is that kind? Is that good? Totally gave his whole self so that we can be saved. Indeed, our salvation derives from the kindness of God, and it is through continuing in his kindness that we are saved. That's how you really, you know, when we talk about one of the biggest attributes of a Christian is love, right? That we love and we love one another. Well, what's one of the attributes of love? Again, it's kindness. We're being good. We're being kind. We're not doing the wrong things. What is true of God in general is also specifically an attribute of Christ, who is gentle. In this connection, Jesus' kind yoke might better be understood to speak of the fact that it is gently and considerably laid upon his disciple rather than that it is easily accomplished. Again, it's not easy. It's something that we have to strive for and do daily in order to follow the Lord. Human kindness, it says. The scriptures also teach that divine kindness is to be reflected in the human experience. Indeed, expressing kindness to other human beings is more important than performing ritual or sacrifice to God. Get that? It's more important than, you know, oh, I did this thing. But you're not kind in how you're doing it or what you did even. Thus, we are to love kindness and to be children of the Most High, exhibiting his kindness and mercy. Even more direction is the simple injunction to be kind. Kindness often finds a place in the list of Christian virtues, right? Paul can take the injunction a step further and claim to exemplify kindness in his own life to a degree that commands his ministry and his authenticity. You know, what do you want on your tombstone? He was kind, he was good, or, well, I guess when people come to your funeral, well, I have to be here. You know, one of the saddest funerals I was ever at, there was 6 people at a graveside, and I'm praying, and I said, does anybody want to share something about the person that is deceased? And somebody says, yeah, I would. He was rotten. I'm going, terrible, I can't believe, and I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. What kind of legacy do we want? I want a legacy of Christ, being Christ-like. And if you have a legacy of being good and kind, then you're being Christ-like, because Christ is good and kind. It goes on and says, yet human imitation of God's kindness does not come naturally. In fact, ultimately, no one is kind. You know, the Bible says what? None good, no, not one. What are our righteousness like? Filthy rags. We're not good. It's only through Christ and his redemption that we could do anything good. It is only as the fruit of the Spirit that kindness can be consistent part of the believer's experience, as it says in Galatians 5:22. It's not natural. And again, we're going to hear more about this later and how we can make it more natural by doing the right things. In the New Testament, it's translated usefulness, the riches of his goodness. Kind, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. This is something, for me, being an ex-Catholic Italian from Chicago. Now, I'm still Italian and I'm still from Chicago, but I'm an ex-Catholic. And before I received Christ, I thought the way that you repent of your sins and get things right is you go to confession. How many of you have been to confession? And you, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, right? And then he tells you what you need to do. And I thought the way I was good and the way I was kind is I had to say X number of Hail Marys, Our Fathers, light candles, do all the rosary a couple times. Yeah, those are for the bad sins, right? But the bottom line is, I was doing my penance and trying to make it right with God by doing this stuff. And thought, okay, as long as I do this. Versus, it's his goodness. We're talking about goodness here. It's the goodness of God that draws you to repentance. It's the goodness of God. I don't want to do something that will harm my relationship with God because I love him, because he's good. Does that make sense? Different mindsets. Like, you know, okay, Lord, I don't want to misrepresent you. I want to be a good representation of you. I want to glorify you. So it's your goodness because of how much you love me and everything you've done for me that I'm going to do that. Now, apply that to your marriage or your relationship. Is your heart and is your attitude right in how you're going to do the good works? Are you doing them with the right heart and attitude that you want God to be glorified? That you want your representation in your marriage to glorify God? When people see you, do they look at you and say, what's the difference between a Christian marriage and a non-Christian marriage? Well, do they look at you and the wife and husband and say, I wish you treated me more like she treats him. Or I wish you treated me more like he treats her. That's awesome. That's good stuff. I've said this before, but if I ever catch a man downing his wife, God help you. It's just wrong. I will tell you. I have no problem. I'll do it at a bowling alley. I'll say, you know what? Knock it off. Don't treat her that way. And so we need to be good. We need to be kind. We need to do the things that God wants us to do. Now, the word directs us. There's a scripture I'm sure you guys have heard before. It's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And it tells you why. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So a lot of times people think they need to go get the answers in some other book. But you can get it through the Bible. The Bible has the answers for life. It has the answers, as you've been seeing over these months, of how to live a godly life, how to have a good marriage, how to do the things right that God wants you to do. So that you could be thoroughly equipped through understanding God's word and being inspired by him in his word. Does that make sense? I have to tell you something, though. There are some good books that I looked at this week as I'm thinking of goodness and kindness. You know what they are? I went into the bookstore, and I went into the children's section. And it broke it down. Here's how to be good to your sister. Here's how to be kind. Sometimes we need to just break it down to the bare necessity. What does it mean to be good and kind? How do I do that? Okay, I'm going to read some scriptures now, and what I'd like you to do is think about God's attribute of love and kindness and who he is and how we could then apply those in our relationships. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how we can actually make that real in our relationships. In Titus 3, 4 through 6, it says, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. Do we want mercy? Yeah? You don't want mercy? Yeah. Then we need to give mercy too. By washing of regeneration of the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, his mercy and his spirit. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit, talk to me. I'd love to pray for you, because that empowers you to fight and battle sin. It empowers you for ministry. So if you want to know more about that, I could talk to you about that later. That's a side note. In Nehemiah 9:17, it says, they refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. How many times do we refuse to listen and forget the goodness and the kindness God has had for us or has done for us? So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. Think of the children of Israel and what went on, and God didn't forsake them, right? We better not forsake our spouses either. We need to have passion and compassion and long-suffering with them and be kind. Psalm 31:21 says, blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. Isaiah 54:8, in an outburst of anger. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever had an outburst of anger? In an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. I want to ask you a question, and I have the answer. What sin that you have committed will God not forgive you of? Right, which is continually not accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? Other than that, there's not a single sin that he won't forgive you of if you sincerely repent and sincerely ask him for forgiveness. So I want you to do this. If there's something holding you back from being kind or being loving, and it's because you just feel God can't forgive you, I know there's somebody in here dealing with that right now. I want you to give that to God. God wants to free you today of that bondage of feeling, I could never be good enough. This is something I can't be forgiven of. There's not a single thing that you've done that God can't forgive you of and that he does not want to forgive you of. He wants to heal you tonight. So I'd ask that you release that to him and be healed. And you're going to love like you've never loved before. And you're going to be loved like you never were loved before. You're going to feel God's presence like never before. Or like you did before until this has come up. So whoever that is, please release it to God today. In Psalm 63:3, it says, because your loving kindness is better than life. His loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. In Samuel 2:6, it says, now may the Lord show loving kindness and truth to you, and I also will show the goodness to you, because you have done great things. God has done great things in our lives, and we need to show loving kindness to others because of that also. In Titus 3:4-6, it says, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Again, not on the basis of our deeds, which we have done in righteousness. Is this the same one I read before? Is it another scripture? Same one? Okay. So you really need to hear it tonight. And I need not to repeat a scripture. Anyway, the bottom line is, we need to be renewed by him and understanding that he forgives us and wants to continue to forgive us. In Psalm 143:8, it says, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. I want to read that again. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So in the morning, say, Lord, I want to hear your loving kindness. I think I shared with you guys before, there's times you get up and you're going, Lord, I haven't sinned. I haven't thought any bad thoughts. I've done so good so far. Everything's great. But Lord, now I'm getting out of bed. I need your help. So we need to hear his loving kindness in the morning to set us off right. The enemy wants you to hear negative stuff, doesn't he? God wants you to hear his loving kindness. And it says, for I will trust in you. Teach me the ways in which I should walk, for I will lift up my soul. When we are encouraged and we're empowered, when we know his loving kindness, a lot of things just don't matter to us anymore, do they? Because we're empowered by him. It says in Psalm 17:7, wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior, to those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise up against them. Psalm 25:6 says, remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from the old. Psalm 138:2, I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all of your name. Psalm 26:3 says, for your loving kindness is before my eyes. We see his loving kindness. And then it says, and I have walked in your truth. I don't know, to me, even God's loving kindness is watching a sunset. I mean, just, gosh, the paintings God makes are just amazing for us. Amen. Sunrise, sunset, walking through Sequoia, seeing those big giant redwoods, enormous and wonderful. God did that. Wow, God, you loved us. He could have made everything just sticks. We were walking. He made colors. He made trees. He made all this stuff. He's just such a loving, good God. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. And Psalm 119:88, revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. His loving kindness revives us. Now, let me ask you something. When your wife or husband or your girlfriend or boyfriend is loving and kind, does that revive you? Yes. I'll tell you, for me, if I know she's behind me, I could do almost anything. If I think I don't have her support, it's tough going, guys. So we need to have that loving kindness to help support each other so that they could do the things that God's called them to do with the right heart and attitude. Psalm 36:10 says, oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Isaiah 54:8 says, in an outburst of anger, again, I hide my face. We need him. We need not to have outbursts of anger, right? It's sin. And if we have kindness and love on our minds and our hearts and we're praying for that and God's refining us in that, we won't have outbursts of wrath. Psalm 117:2 says, for his loving kindness is great towards us and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Psalm 96:16, answer me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good according to the greatness of your compassion. Turn to me. He's pleading, turn to me, help me, I need your loving kindness. So if you're feeling bummed, say, God, help me. I need your loving kindness, help me. And he will, he'll be there for you, he'll fill you. Psalm 103:4, who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who is it? It's God, right? So we need to be encouraging one another too if we're having a bummer day, let's trust in God. Let's lean on him. We're going through a time. Let's ask for God's kindness and his help to get through it. In Psalm 40:11, it says, you, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continuously preserve me. If you're in the hospital, you might pray this. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. Financial problems, whatever you're going through, God's there for you. Give it to him. Ask for his strength. Ask for his loving kindness. You know, the Bible talks about if you ask for something, he's not going to give you something bad, right? Is he going to give you a rock? No, he's going to give you something good. He loves us and he wants to do good things for us. Psalm 63:3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you again. Hosea 2:19, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. Psalm 51:1, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. And isn't that the real bottom line? When we transgress against him, we want him to blot out our transgressions, right? How about when we transgress against our spouse? Do we ask for forgiveness and say, please forgive me? I want your loving kindness back. I want you to be kind to me again. Psalm 36:7 says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Picture the chicken that has all the little chicklets underneath, or the duck with all the ducklings. That's what, God, cover me. Cover me with your loving kindness. Again, it's God's goodness that draws us to repentance. He's so good to us. I need to be better to my wife. We need to be better to each other. And I've shared with you guys before, sometimes it's so much easier, it seems like, to be compassionate or nice to those you work with more than your spouse. And that's wrong. They're our first love. They're the first ones we're supposed to be good to. It's like you muster up all this strength and love and kindness at work. I get it all there. Now you go home and you're mean to your wife or your husband or your kids. That's not what God's calling us to do. He doesn't want us to do that. Okay, remember the song? It's his goodness that leads us to repentance. Knowing that he loves us. You guys don't know that one. Knowing that he loves us. But knowing that he loves us, knowing how much God loves us, it draws us to repentance. Knowing how much my wife loves me and I love her, I want to be kind to her. I want to be loving to her. We need to do those things. The word tells us, again, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit, the spirit of God. If you're thinking, again, you're going to muster up enough strength. No, muster up enough strength to get on your face and repent and say, God, I need your strength to be more loving. I need your strength to be kinder, to do the right things here. We need to be praying to be empowered by him. The word also says that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Do you know what that means? Explain it to me, whoever said that, yes. What's it mean?
It means that no matter where you are or what you're doing, Satan's right there to get you. Just to stumble you, to trip you up, to make you think that you're not with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's real, you guys? I mean, this is not pretend stuff. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he can destroy. Now, if he can destroy your marriage, he doesn't just destroy your marriage. He destroys your representation to Christ, to your family, to everyone. Who wants to be a Christian when you're acting the way you are? And the real key there, too, is he's like a roaring lion. Now, key word, because he really is gumless. Teethless, rather. And he could gum you down. No, no, no. But he doesn't have teeth. And if we can't allow him to just come at us that way, we need to say, Lord, I'm not going to allow this to happen. He's trying to destroy my marriage. He's trying to destroy our relationship. And Lord, I'm not going to allow that to happen. He's gumless. He doesn't want you to be kind. He doesn't want you to be good. But you know what he does want? He wants someone else to be kind to your wife. Right? He wants someone else to be kind to your husband. At work, wherever. He wants someone else to be kind. Oh, you're the most handsome guy. Oh, you're beautiful. Like at work and there's handsome Henry and luscious Lucy. Yeah, bubbles. Pastor Jack says bubbles. Right? The bottom line is guard yourself. Save all your kindness. Save all your goodness for your spouse. I mean, I'm not saying, okay, let me rephrase that. Don't be mean to everybody. Go to work and be mean to everybody. No. What I'm stating is the one you should be the kindest to, the one you should be more loving to is your spouse. More than anyone else, they should get the best of you. So you need to make sure that you practically do that. Don't fall for the garbage of the enemy where he wants to take you and mess you up. Get your eyes off of what God has for you here. Make sure you're doing that. Okay, Della's going to come up and we're going to share a couple practical things with you. But I also want you guys to think of some things that you might say, you know what would be really good? Or you know what my wife or husband has done that's been really good? Do you want me to take it off? Are you okay with it on there? Okay. Okay, good.
One of the things I wanted you to think about is, as the sinners we are, we're very capable of doing a kind thing in an unkind way. And we're even capable of doing unkind things in a kind way. So we fool ourselves, thinking we're doing something good, but we're really not doing it right. So, for instance, I had an example a while ago. But a kind thing would be, say you're getting up to get ice cream and you offer to get it to your spouse, but it's really not a kind thing because that person has already told you they're trying to lose weight. And so it's really not very nice of you to say, hey, I'm getting some ice cream. You want some? It's really not kind. It seemed kind, but it's not kind. So, and you can do a kind thing or an unkind thing in a kind way. In that, say, you tend to do everything for your child. And that seems kind to be very helpful and service-oriented and doing all these things for your child, but you're actually depriving them of learning how to do things for themselves and to become independent. So even though that seems loving, you're actually not being kind and loving by not allowing them to experience doing some of these things on their own. So it's just interesting that, you know, if you really stop to think about it, you can spoil kindness, even though you're doing something that appeared one way and it's really not.
Even in motives, okay. I'm going to be really kind to her and then we'll have sex tonight. Now, you still should be able to have sex. But what's your attitude? I'm serious. What's your attitude? Yeah, you're bartering versus saying...
Or manipulating.
Yeah. And instead, you need to say, I'm just going to be kind to her. I love her. As we've talked about when we did the topic of sex, sex is the icing on the cake. That's the easy part of everything else is working properly. Then that's the easy part. So if you're good and kind to one another, and believe me, guys, you know, don't think she doesn't know when you're playing that game. She does. So that's another thing. Make sure that your motives and stuff are right, too, in that.
Yeah. Well, and obviously it's easy to be kind to someone who's being kind to you. Mm. But where our challenge is, where the Lord challenges us, is still being kind when the other person's being grumpy and not being nice. Because we all are going to have days like that. So we ought to give our spouse some space. And, you know, if I see that George is having a really hard day, I give him grace and mercy and space. I don't ask a lot of him because I know that he's struggling at that point and that he does the same thing for me. But we try to be good about communicating to each other also and warning the other person that we're not feeling well, and we're really tired, or we're very stressed, and so they can understand where we're coming from. But that still, if I'm tired and I'm stressed and I'm overwhelmed, that doesn't give me the right to not be kind. God wants us to be kind even when it's difficult to be kind. That's what makes it different. That's why we call on the Lord to help us. And I'm certainly not always successful, but it's a blessing when I am, because I've called out to the Lord to say, okay, I do not feel kind today. I'm feeling very grumpy and prickly, and help me to refocus and get a different perspective on what I'm doing, and realize that my stress does not give me the right to be unkind to someone else.
Yeah. And here's the key with that. I am responsible for me. She is responsible for her. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter if she's having a bad day and so on. That doesn't give me the right to yell at her, to say something stupid or whatever. Well, you think you're grumpy? Watch this. I mean, we could do that. And it's like, you know, honestly, okay, I'd say you're probably lying if you say that never goes on in your mind. It's gone on in my mind. You think you had a bad day, and I'm in my mind, you think you've had a bad day. Well, wait till I tell you what my day is like, so I could be more prickly than you could be. Yeah. And most of the times it doesn't come out of my mouth, it goes in my mind, and I say, shut up. What are you thinking? That's sin. That's wrong. You're responsible for what you're doing.
Yeah, one of the scriptures that I try to keep in mind all the time is that it says in Proverbs 15:1 that a harsh word stirs up anger, but a soft word turns away wrath. And so when your partner's being harsh, you being harsh back only escalates everything. And if you can have a soft answer, if you can respond in a kind way, you can sometimes diffuse that situation and help them to recuperate, you know.
And we're not at all, listen, guys and gals, we're not saying we're perfect at this and never mess up. Mm-hmm. We do. We, just like I said, as you become a Christian, you're not sinless, you sin less. Mm-hmm. We're less and less get on each other's bad sides, or say things we shouldn't say, or get prickly. We more and more give each other grace as we understand God more, mm-hmm. and we understand each other more. We're constantly saying, you know, let's do the right thing. And you know what's really cool? Is if I'm having a bad day and I'm saying stuff and so on, and I could tell she's holding off, it makes me stop it. Like, gosh, I must, because I could tell, like I said, you know how to poke each other. I could also tell when I'm doing things that, like, she'd like to say something to me. And I'm the truth, and she's holding back, and I'm like, and I go, I'm not being very kind. I'm not being very nice, and it changes my attitude. And I'm usually able to say, I'm sorry, I messed up. Mm-hmm. So again, don't think it's not going to happen. But when it does, are you willing to stop it? Are you willing to say, can you forgive? I was wrong. Admit it. Total different thing in your relationship when you're honest with each other, because we're not perfect. What's that? Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. No way. If Satan, again, if he could mess up your marriage, again, who wants to be a Christian if that? And as we've talked about in the past, there are almost as many Christian marriages that are going through divorce right now as there are non-Christian marriages. Shame on us. But you guys are here, praise the Lord, because you want better marriages, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So we'll continue to do that. I don't know. Remember, I think it's KTSG that does random acts of kindness. Is that them?
KSGN.
KSGN? EIEIO? Okay, what do they do? They tell you to pay for someone's coffee or the person behind you. Pay it forward, they're calling it. And the responses, they have people that call in and say, they're in tears, literally. the person ahead of me paid for my meal and blah, 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 blah. Have that attitude with your spouse. But honestly, we should not have random acts of goodness. We should have intentional acts of goodness. Amen? You see the difference? I need to be thinking, how can I be good to her? How can I support her? How can I make her everything God wants her to be so that she could be freed up to serve God and to do and say the things God's called her to do? Excuse me. Okay. Do you guys have anything you want to share that maybe God has used in your marriage that's been an awesome thing? Random acts, or not random acts, but intentional acts, or even random acts. Wait, we've got Mike coming over here. His name's actually Tim, but I call him Mike. Huh?
Just if you take the word ark, acts of random kindness are intentional. Mm-hmm. And we had a pastor come over, and he taught on that, blessing our home. And he said, acts of random kindness are intentional.
Okay, cool. I'll accept that. Just do it. Right? That's the key. You had something?
I can remember when I was treating my wife poorly and getting on her case about something and very upset. And she would come back with a real soft voice and say that I love you.
Mm. I'd say I love you.
And it would diffuse my anger. Mm-hmm. And it really works.
That's a Proverbs 15:1 there, right? Anybody else have anything they want to share? Back there.
I just want to see Mike go all the way across here.
You want to see him run, okay.
Poor kid.
Yeah, I have something. As you can see, I'm a musician. So I think one of the toughest things is for a spouse is to live with a musician. I play the bass guitar. I have a son who is a drummer. And we have amps and guitars and drum stuff all over the place. My wife hates it. And I can feel for her. She hates it. Mm-hmm. And then it's really challenging for us when it's time for us to play or practice. You know, I turn up that amp and it's boom, 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 and it shakes the house and whatever. So my wife, she gives us grace though, and she knows that oftentimes I back off from playing because I know it bothers her. Mm-hmm. So what she does, she'll just leave. She'll take off for 2 or 3 hours. Hey, you go ahead and do your practice. Now, She's out there shopping, but
all right, stop there.
But the thing is, she took the initiative and she says, "Hey, I'm gonna leave and let you guys have at it and just tear up the house with the noise." So I appreciate that from
Amen.
My wife. Act of kindness. All
right. If
isn't that bartering?
Yeah, but if you don't understand that, I play drums. I haven't played. But I used to play in the worship team here. I used to be in worship bands and stuff like that. And our living room had a drum set in the living room for many years. That was like the centerpiece of our living room. So we get it. And that's grace and mercy and being kind. Okay.
We're talking about acronyms. There's another one, JOY, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself, last. Mm-hmm. So... one of the things I think in the marriage is that for a long time, not consciously but subconsciously, I was looking for my wife to fulfill, spiritual equality or for, oh, you're my better half. And then when that wouldn't happen, I would become bitter. Or I would, like you said, George, returning evil for evil instead mm-hmm. of, grace and mercy. So now... I want to encourage all the men. It doesn't matter how long you've been married. If it's only been 2 years and you didn't have the right foundation, or if it's been 25 years mm-hmm. and you messed up the first 10 or 15, start now. Start now recognizing that your spouse can't fulfill everything that Christ did already mm-hmm. and that put Jesus first and look to yourself, how can I bring out that quality in my wife that I need to fulfill or would make me happier? What am I not doing that doesn't want her to do that? And it's circular. So if you focus in on yourself and you get the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what you're going to do. And if you don't have that, and if you're stressed out or whatever it is in the day, just stop and just pull over or go somewhere. And you need to recharge and be that anchor for your wife that way. And if you stop looking for her to fulfill that, even if you blew it, then just stop now and then go back.
Amen. Amen. Very good. You know, when I do biblical guidance with a couple and they're out of control, you know, if you've gone through the love and respect series, they tell you who should change first or do the thing first, and they say the mature one. Well, I don't say that. What I say, I look at the couple that's sitting there, and I go, let me tell you who should start doing this first. And I close my eyes, and I go, you should. I say, did you get that? Let me do it again. And they're both sitting there. I said, let me tell you who needs to start doing this first. You should. In other words, they both should. You're both responsible. Again, you're responsible for you. He's responsible for him. She's responsible for her. Do the right things. Do the right things. You know, how about kind things like it used to be notes and letters, but even a text. I love you. I'm praying for you. Amen. Amen. I hope you're having a good day.
I have one really quick. I have a really smart husband because he's a morning person and I'm a night person.
That makes him smart?
Well, let me tell you why. It's the little things that really matter sometimes. For as long as I can remember, when I wake up in the morning, there's a hot cup of coffee sitting there for me.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's a good man. And that's biblical too, right? Because the Bible has Hebrews in it.
Yes, I do.
Hebrews. So it's the men that are supposed to do that. You knew that was coming, right? Hebrews. She has something up here. It's biblical. Hebrews. But she brews in my house. So.
Hi, I just wanted to share a very loving, kind thing that my husband Bruce did for me. About 2 years ago, I had a medical procedure. It wasn't major, but in some ways it was. And I had to be watched for maybe 48 hours after the surgery. But instead of 48 hours, my husband took off 10 days from work, his vacation time, and took care of me, took care of the dishes, the house, my food. I don't have my mom and dad, they're in heaven with Jesus, but we've been married now 4.5 years, but it was only 2 years then, and to see my husband just be in the recovery area before the nurses were, and to know he was sitting there for, you know, a long time when I was in surgery, and just knowing that he was there when I opened my eyes, and he took me home, and just so loving and so kind. It just, right now, it just wants to bring tears to my eyes, because to know you have somebody, like you said, like Della has your back, and he has mine, and just to know that you have that family with your spouse is so precious, because you don't know how long you have, and each day is just a gift from Jesus.
Amen, amen. Prayerfully, we remember those times more than the times we messed up. And again, that's where, as I was talking earlier, if there's something that your spouse has done that they've messed up, you need to forgive them and start afresh and start being kind and loving today. You know, it's you know, again, who starts first? Well, I'll be nice to you when you're nice to me. No, you be nice to him or you be nice to her, period. Because God's commanded you to, and you're going to obey him and his word. Make sense? You going to do it? Doug, yes. What's that?
True repentance starts that journey.
True repentance starts that journey. Again, that's so dead on. If I say, yeah, I'm sorry, and she's going, yeah, right. I could tell you're sorry. If you say, I'm really sorry, I messed up. And here's the real key with real repentance. If you're sorry, you're going to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And then they're going to say prayerfully, okay, I forgive you. And you pray together and you move on. But if you say, I'm sorry, but you know, don't do that. Like, well, if you wouldn't have it, stop it. You ask God, and if you need to repent and say you're sorry, say you're sorry. And let God deal with the other person. Don't be Holy Spirit to that person either. Don't be Holy Spirit. Anybody else have anything else? How many of you, and you don't need to raise your hands, but you should be complimenting each other constantly. I mean that. Even thank you for taking out the trash. Mike, we got somebody over here, Mike. thank you for taking out the trash. Thank you for going to work and bringing home a paycheck, right? Thank you for taking care of the kids. Does that make sense? Those are nice things to say, and they go a long way, those little things. Okay. Are you previewing what she's going to say first now?
Hello? Oh, I just wanted to say I love my husband, and he gave me a beautiful rose. And it was closed, and now it's blooming so beautiful. And I wanted to thank him for being so loving and so kind. I love you.
Wow, that's great. Thank you. I have to tell you, when my wife and I first got married, we didn't have a lot of money, just like a lot of people. And I would sometimes pick weeds out in front. And I even one time ring the doorbell, and she goes like, oh, just for you. And she'd put them in a vase. She knew I was thinking of her. And besides that, Della, I knew, anyway, if I go buy roses, she'll say, why'd you spend money on that? She'll get mad. But if I picked weeds, so think of what makes your spouse happy? What makes them think that you're being kind and loving? Because it's not the same for Della and me as it is for you, but you need to really study each other. And I mean that in a positive way. What does she like? What does he like? And do that. You had another person?
Okay. Yes, it's me.
Hi, me.
Growing up, I saw my dad abused my mother. And as a Christian couples, I don't think we realize how much other adults or even teenagers are influenced by your actions. So growing up, I never wanted to get married because if that was what marriage was all about, I said, forget it. So I prayed to the Lord as a little child that I would, if I ever did get married, that he would just bring me somebody that would love me. And he has, but it was only because when I was 18, I went to a youth group, Christian youth group, and there was couples there that worked in it, and I saw them being kind to each other. I went, whoa, that's nice. I like that. So because of their influence and their love and their actions, it caused me as a teenage young girl to desire to be married to somebody like that, and he did. And God answered my prayer and brought me somebody that I would never imagine would bring to me, you know.
Awesome.
And you know, some of you know our story, but we'll tell you later.
Sometime we're going to be able to have them come up and share their story. Okay, and remember this, as we're continuing to talk about this, is you, no matter where you go and what you do, you are a witness, right? The question is, are you a good witness or are you a bad witness? So we need to pray that, Lord, help us to be a good witness. All right, is the worship team here? Somebody that could lead worship? All right, I'm going to pray, and they're going to come up and lead us in the last song, okay? Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you that you are good, that you are kind, that you leave us in your word understanding what goodness and kindness is. And we ask that you would help us to be good and kind, first and foremost, to our spouses. And then secondly, to anyone we come into contact, Lord. You're just such a good God, such a loving God. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you left us examples. I thank you for each person that was willing to share something tonight Lord, something personal that meant something to them in their marriages and in their relationship. We pray that you would touch this night, bless the food as we go out there, and Lord, just bless the rest of the fellowship, we pray. So we give you this night in Jesus' name. Amen.